Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So, to start the show, I asked Sean and you guys a question too. What's the worst $140 you've ever spent? It was in some way serious, but if you didn't have an answer, it's fine. Because I imagine, if you think about your life, maybe you threw $140 at a woman who was dancing who said she liked you. I don't know. That could have happened, depending on your state of mind. But did that transaction occur at a trailer park? So there has been some clarification on this Jed York story. We left just knowing that the San Francisco owner had been involved in what appeared to be prostitution. It was written in a way where it sounded like he was a prostitute. It said he was involved in prostitution. It got pled down, and there was also a charge of having criminal tools, whatever that actually is. But the trailer park owner wanted to clear some things up. He says he only wound up at the trailer park, Jed York. He was not participating in illicit acts at my trailer park. He needed that as clarification. He needed that out there.
So I'll say the transaction with these private contractor
sure
did not happen at the trailer park. Neither did the deed.
Correct.
He just then make it's almost worse for Jed York. It's like, wait, so after that you then went to a trailer park.
Yeah,
Ohio.
The chief of police of East Palestine said that that's just where he got pulled over. And the trailer park owner wanted it to be known. Look, I get it.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen here. It only just was it could have been a Citco. It could have been an Exxon.
It could have been, down the road. Yeah, it could have been a community.
It could have been wherever. It just so happens that's where he was pulled over. Okay. So my trailer park is not the home for Jed York's prostitution illicit affairs.
Disgusting acts that he's doing. Not at my trailer park.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all. So I get it. If you're that owner and you don't want to be associated with prostitution, maybe you have, and I imagine he does have some upstanding, hardworking people who just are living their lives. He doesn't want that on his resume. He doesn't want that on his jacket that he is a place where his place is a place where prostitution occurs.
That's good for him to get out there.
Yeah.
With that $140. Let me just say, feels light. Feels
for Jed York or anyone.
For anyone, doesn't feel like that much money. I mean, for non-billionaires, owners of NFL teams, it is more money, but even like $140 is not like a wild amount.
So it brought up the point of forget about, okay, you're a billionaire who's decided in some people's eyes to slum it. I don't know what this woman looks like, but the assumption just is first of all, you're Jed York. You're an owner of an NFL team. I made the claim that, look, you just got out of a marriage. Fine. You're in the middle of a divorce, whatever. You don't want to be in a long-term relationship. I don't know your proclivities. But you're the owner of an NFL team. Whether you have decided paying for sex is something you enjoy, I don't know. Or it is just something that you want to do one time, I don't know.
You want to kill some time while you're in Ohio.
Yeah, why you're near your childhood home, you want to kill some time, you pick up, whatever the decision-making process is. You could have a woman by your side that it isn't serious, it's not even a real relationship, but people love to be associated with power and money. That could have been done. And you could have avoided all of this, where in some ways it's transactional, but you're not explicitly paying for sex, where you wind up getting pulled over in a East Palestine, Ohio trailer park.
Yeah.
That's all. Look, he's a billionaire, so something certainly went his way in life. I just don't know how the decision making can be this bad.
I mean, you can go to Vegas, go hang out with Mark Davis and ask trade some notes with how he, you know, because he doesn't, you know, he hasn't gotten popped for.
No, he's found a way not to. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, he has some arm candy as well. Mark, owner to owner.
Even if you
or go to Vegas and just.
Where it's legal. But even if you don't.
I don't know. Hey, how would you like to go to East Palestine, Ohio?
The assumption would be no NFL owner wants this attached to them, but we've had a couple guys in the last half a decade or so have this attached to them. Of course, they thought it'd be secret, wouldn't get caught, whatever came over them to get in a spot where this became public knowledge. I just look at what's happening in this town. Like, the exact opposite of Jed York is Cal McNair. Cal McNair, whose reputation has taken a dramatic turn in the positive direction because of how his team has performed over the last couple of years. He's an owner of an NFL team, inherited from his father, married with a wife that everyone, for the most part, it seems, loves. Hannah McNair has a high Q rating.
Higher than Cal's.
Yes. He is benefiting from being at her side as opposed to the other way around. I don't know Cal's personality, never met the man, don't know if he's very humorous and in non-public situations. Maybe he's the most charming man on the face of the earth. I don't know. But the implication or the assumption about Cal McNair before the turnaround was we got the wrong son as the owner. Everyone wanted, because they just saw Cal as someone who couldn't run an NFL team, they wanted Art Carey McNair to be the owner of the team.
His nickname was Tommy Boy.
Yeah. No one was looking for Cal to run this team. They wanted the other brother. Turns out the other brother's got his own problems. You just never know. And you know what? Cal McNair married what appears to be a very smart, beautiful woman who has helped turn the Texans franchise around. Being an NFL owner allows you to potentially marry a great woman. Now, Jed York didn't want to marry a woman after being in a relationship for a long time. But you could have picked a great woman to be around that wasn't the prostitute in East Palestine, Ohio.
That's
because you're an NFL owner and all the things that come with that.
There's not a $500 one?
I'm not even. Look, if we want to stay in the realm of prostitution, that's fine. But I would just imagine, even if all you want is that aspect of it.
Just company?
Yes. You just want that aspect of it. It doesn't have to be explicitly transactional because you're an NFL owner. You run in circles where women will want to be around you.
Yeah, where at the very least is not meaningfully different than prostitution.
Not per se.
You don't get arrested in East Palestine for doing it.
As I said, it is transactional, can be transactional, yes. But not to level where it becomes criminal.
Yeah, you're just two adults having a relationship.
Yeah, rich guy attracts beautiful woman, and they're around each other, mutually beneficial for both, and it's a surface level thing, and that could have been fine. But maybe Jed York has his proclivities, and those proclivities make him one of those guys with an embarrassing mugshot. And now we know he's like 5'6". And
that was not good. I mean,
none of it is good, obviously, but yeah.
that part also, it just gets worse.
Just another part of the bleep sandwich.
$140.
I mean, what do we, I don't know. Look, you know what they say, rich people don't get rich by spending a lot of money. So maybe that's part of it. He goes, look, I'm not looking for anything special. I just need this function done for me.
I
know. It's all skeevy. I'm just trying to. I thought to myself, brilliant. And I see Ryan and Dennis. We'll get to you before we go to break. We're way past due. I thought to myself that this woman, maybe this was a woman from his hometown. Maybe he went to school with her. And Jed was like, you know what? Couldn't get you when I was in high school. Things have gone well for me. Things have gone not so well for you, clearly.
Here's a 100 and 220s.
I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. How could this happen?
You can make this transaction with three bills.
Yeah. I'm just trying to wrap my mind around how this happened. And that's the only reasonable, and that's just my movie TV brain. It's the only way, I'm writing out a script for this. Yeah, it's the only way I think it can work, movie. Where it's him going back, he sees her and goes, you know what? You turned me down when I was in school, when we were at school. And, you know, Jed York is, what, in his 50s now? So hard life for this woman he's approaching in my script.
Yeah, no, of course.
And he's like, you know what? Now turn me down. It's the only way I see this happening. I can't imagine. I know it didn't happen that way, but it's the only way I see it happening.
I don't mean to. I don't know.
It's my elevator pitch for my new drama series.
I'd love to hear more.
Hey, Bob Iger, do you still run Disney? I know you're in with the Lakers now.
$140 if to peddle your wares. I can't imagine you have all your teeth. I can't imagine you have.
I'm not going to dive deeper because there are jokes to be made about that as well in this instance.
Yes, yes.
So we're going to go to Ryan and then go to break, and Dennis will get to you too. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, what's up, Dilly Billy? What's going on, Mapers? All right, so the worst, $140 plus 30, so 170. We're on two packages that got stolen from my apartment, and I've never had any package stolen for 4 years. Yeah, that's the worst. Later.
Thank you. That's actually more wholesome than I ever thought I would get from you, Ryan.
When he said that I have a worst $140, I was like, oh, here we go.
And I would say, yes, for you, $140, that's bad. It ain't worse than what Jed York did.
Because that, and even just like the, like for us, $140 is $140.
Yeah. For him, it's
nothing.
It's nothing.
It's nothing.
and it caused all this embarrassment. There are simple ways around it, and he couldn't find his way around it. Look, I know Jaylen Brown said it's not a high bar to be smarter than an athlete.
To be the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, when he's around all these athletes. I did not know extended to owners too. But that ain't a smart move, Jed York.
No.
We'll see what the consequences are, and there'll be none. I mean, he got the two-day jail thing that got suspended.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. He'll have to live it down, but other than that.
Honestly, that's all I need to be the punishment for, like, what?
Yeah.
Unless we find out more. And this is all, you know, a deeper script that will get added to Paramount Plus. Like, I don't know if this, like,
Taylor Sheridan, get at me.
I don't know if he needs like some to get the team taken.
None of that's gonna happen.
Honestly, just me being able to make fun of him for the rest of his life, I think, is punishment enough.
Sure, I don't think he needs to get his team taken away. I don't think he deserves it. No. I think he needs to get called in. At an owner's meeting. Whenever the owner's meeting happens.
Jerry be like, cool off, young man.
Everyone should be able to take him to task.
Except one.
Except for Kraft.
Rob Kraft.
Yeah. And yeah, I would say he.
Recuse yourself.
He is maybe advising Jed on how to handle the shame tour that he'll have to go on.
His Hal Jordan?
Yeah. In fact, if Jed York's John Stewart to Bob's Hal Jordan, make the call. You two can have a conversation about this and figure some things out. Dennis, we'll get to you when we come back. Hold through the break. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776.
Tuesday's Rich Eisen Show. Is Aaron Donald back yet? Hopefully he will be in time for my Four Downs Rams season preview. And Will Forte of the new hit movie Coyote versus Acme is in studio.
The Rich Eisen Show, noon to 3 on ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. A little delay. I was talking to Lance. Lance had a question about Dolphins rookies. There are going to be a lot of them playing. Only real talent on the roster, the guys who never played a real NFL game. So, not that you should take any of those guys in fantasy, because come on, the Dolphins aren't going to be good. But maybe at the back end of your, you want to take a guy late in the draft, Chris Bell, the big-time receiver out of Louisville.
Yeah.
Doing full on 11-on-11, is going to play in the preseason after tearing his ACL in late November. It looks like he's going to be ready to go. They may start two rookie wide receivers. So if you want to sneak in your wide receiver five,
like your fifth guy.
Yeah, maybe find one of those guys and get some value
Duck
there.
Throw.
I mentioned that because, in part, we got our fantasy football draft coming up as part of our trip to the Golden Nugget. It doesn't really benefit anyone but, like, six other people.
Yeah, it's like something where it's like...
Or eight other people.
We will be doing shows from the Golden Nugget Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, the draft won't be aired anywhere.
Yeah, draft will just be on Thursday night. All the spots are taken, I think. They are all spoken for.
Yeah.
I don't know if everyone's signed up, but whatever. So...
Yeah, but...
Not many Dolphins. I'll say not many Dolphins.
Unless you... Yeah, A-Chain, maybe.
A-Chain will go in the first 10 minutes, and then...
And other than that, like I said, maybe you find some value at the very end of the draft with the receiver no one's really thinking about. You'll get to you here, Dennis. Sean's answering the phone. He's got to do the thing and then patch you through. So we'll get to you here quickly. While we're waiting for that, so the Texans release their uniforms, their rivalry uniforms. They're not the only ones in AFC South to do it. It was them, the Jags, and the Titans. And woof, the Jags are bad. We'll talk about that. But Dennis is ready to go, so we'll get to Dennis. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How are y'all?
We're good. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, real quick, I just wanted to touch on that Jed George situation. We need to put a little more respect on Cal's name. Hannah's probably top five in the power rankings of hottest owner's wives in the NFL, not to mention she can do the South Side. And then as far as the Jed York situation, if I'm in that guy's shoes, I'm going full-on Pretty Woman and dropping some money on, you know, the woman I'm trying to pick up. I'm not just going for the low-ball $140 version.
Yeah, that's part of the conversation. I don't know how he came in contact with this woman. Apparently, I guess maybe I do. He went on a site and found her. So he had options to choose from and chose her.
Oh my God. So, why is he bargain hunting?
I don't know. Why is he? He's in Ohio for whatever reason. He's from the area, so that takes care of that. Why is he on a website bargain hunting? Look, I don't know the level or the number of women who are in that business in that area, but I gotta imagine you can spend at least $1,000.
I was gonna say
if that was what you wanted to do,
there's got to be a $300 option. Like when you go to like one of those car washes and they have like the base plus, supreme plus. Like, come on, you know, I can't imagine there's anything cheaper than 140. God, I don't even know if there's anything cheaper than 140.
But he made a choice.
$40.
It tickled some part of him, and this is the result. Yeah, and
you can like easily have like a dinner of two people that could get past $140.
Well, that's the other question. How many $140 dinners is he having now in his life? When's the last time he had one? Look, we had a conversation during the break about Chick-fil-A's new sandwich, their waffle sandwich.
Yeah.
That is now.
That was closer to 12
for you guys out there. So I get going to fast food if that's what he loves to do. But as far as sitting down and with the people he deals with on the level he deals with them, like when's the last time he had a $140 dinner? And he spends it on whoever he spent it on.
It is just mind boggling to me. It is just I don't know. She could have asked for 300. It obviously would not have made any difference. Like
or maybe he said we agreed to 140.
I know.
Maybe he was driving a hard bargain. Who knows?
He's like, gosh, I understand what Brandon Ayuk's going through right now. This guy drives a hard bargain.
I thought John Lynch was a ball buster.
Yeah.
Now I get it. So yeah, in respect to Cal and Hannah, yes. I don't. There are no rankings of owners' wives. Probably a level that we're not going to go to. Even in this world where women get judged on everything. I don't know that we've gotten to a level where some website decided to rank the attractiveness of owners' wives.
You have more faith than the internet.
You're right. I just don't know that it's an idea we've gotten to yet. Maybe
bro Bible.
yeah, that would be one of the sites. I just don't know that it's happened yet. I'm not saying it can't. I believe, at least I haven't seen it. Yes, Hannah McNair is an attractive woman, and she did the South Side. Look, Cal's winning. Yes, Cal is winning, which just exemplifies what the hell is Jed York up to? Like, you don't want to be married, but you could find a woman of a certain caliber that you didn't have to marry, you didn't have to pay. And he chose an option that now has us discussing him for the second segment. Congratulations to Jed York.
Yesterday we spent.
It is a great story with no real explanation. Hey, Gail King, I need to sit down with Jed York, not me. Talk to Jed York. I need someone to. I don't need like, what is his name? What's the muckraker in San Francisco? I don't need him doing it.
Oh, Grant Cohn.
I don't need Grant Cohn doing it.
No.
I need him on CBS. I know I won't have him on ABC because Strahan will throw softballs at him.
Yeah.
I need someone who will ask the questions that we all need answers to. First question: what the hell? And then we go from there.
Just my first question, Jed, $140.
You know you're a billionaire, right?
You're paying Brock Purdy $45.
I would ask all the questions in my head right now. When's the last time you paid $140 for anything? Of anything you thought was valuable?
Yeah. When your valet drops off your car, what do you tip that guy?
Yeah.
Is it $2?
To avoid the bad story in the press about Jed York's a bad tipper, what are you doing at restaurants?
Are you tipping more than $140 for a waiter?
I'm going to imagine of all in the last year of the sit down dinners he's had, he's not tipped less than $140. And yet, look at him. Let's get to David here. He wants to talk about $140. What's up, David?
Hey guys, the worst $140 I ever spent was on a big box store vessel or vehicle maintenance package that included like lifetime guaranteed tire rotation and balancing and an oil tank. So the first time I went there and did this, I had to unscrew one of the stem caps just to make sure that they didn't balanced them and rotated them. Sure enough, when I went to pick it up, the tire was on the same spot.
Yeah, going to a place that you don't trust, that you don't have a relationship with when it comes to your car, that can be tough. There's always a wonder, did they do the job that they said they were doing? Hell, I got to get an oil change today. Now, I'm going to those places where you sit down in the car while they do it, the Valvoline, where they just do it for you while you're in the car. So I'm going to know at least that they're actually taking out my oil and putting it in. But you always wonder, hey, did they do what they said they were going to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shout out to Dave. Appreciate the call.
Honestly, an oil change gets you pretty close to $140.
Yeah.
God, it's like, not that much money.
Jed York, and considering the cars that Jed York is likely driving, if he likes to drive.
What was he pulled over in?
Well, it might not have been. Maybe he has a home there since, you know, he's a billionaire. He's going to have homes everywhere. So maybe he was in his own car. I don't know. I had the dream that he had a driver, and the driver looked back at him. Really? Really?
His Alfred was like, sure. Yeah.
Pennyworth. Shut up, Pennyworth. Mind your business.
Shut up. We're going to East Palestine.
Yeah. Mr. York, are you sure you want to do this? I pay you to drive, not to give your opinion. You know he's paying his driver more than $140 per ride.
Yeah.
Let's get to Penny here, and then we'll go to break. The Jed York story just keeps on giving me more thoughts on what. I can't believe this.
It's so befuddling.
I can't. It's befuddling. What's up, Pena?
Yo, what up, Bill? As I went to go watch the end of Oak Street this weekend, that movie sucked, dude. Like, it was terrible. And I also want to give a food review on those new Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
Okay.
Man, those waffles are dry as heck, man. Super dry. And what do you think about those new uniforms for the Texans? Go Texans.
So I've not had the waffle sandwich yet. Sean has. He has. I think he might have a different opinion on both the things you reviewed, the end of Oak Street and the waffle sandwich, right?
Yeah, I think they're both good.
Well, different strokes for different folks, I guess.
Or, you know, I mean, the waffle. Is it dry? I can also, not really. Okay. I mean, with the syrup, it all just kind of.
Yeah, that makes
and then
sense.
The grease from the
bacon and the chicken. Yeah, it all comes together.
But I can also see how. From location to location, they don't quite have.
That was my thought. Like from location to location, the fries aren't the same. Like as far as how long they're cooked and if they're crispy, that plays a part in it too.
But 59 and Kirby, they treat me right.
Shout out.
Shout out to you guys.
Yeah.
Stay cool out there, guys.
The people
the drive-through lines. Stay cool.
The men and women who have to stand up. They have to stand out there to move the line along and take your orders. I'm glad when the mister is on.
Yeah, they have the misting fan.
Yeah.
I saw
I'm like, thank goodness for those people.
And End of Oak Street, good movie. But he, Pena's more in the Michael
Carroll. Yeah.
Although Michael Carroll's
say it sucked.
Is meh.
Yeah. He only has that type of vitriol for like Eli Roth.
Yeah.
When he's lying about AI and stuff. Yeah. And I guess the dumb guy from Obsession. Not just the character. The actor apparently is dumb too. Michael Johnston, I guess is his name. As far as the uniforms are concerned, I did mention that before we got that call, the first call of the segment. The Texans uniforms out of the three in the AFC South that were revealed, I think they're the best of the bunch. And the video is great. Fat Pat playing, Top Drops is playing. They got the rights to that to play it under the video release. You have some of the stars, Tank, CJ, Dave Montgomery's in it, Will Anderson's in it. I will say, oh, by the way, if you haven't seen it, you can go to at Houston Texans, whatever social media you want, and you'll see them. They're all white uniforms. I think it's the first time they've ever had a white helmet. Definitely. They've had red and blue, but not white.
Yeah.
It isn't Columbia blue. It's a little darker version of that. Not much so, but it is a difference in the blue from what the Titans are wearing now as their permanent uniforms. Got the red accents. I think it looks good. And H-Town's written on the helmet bumper, so... It is, and the video's fun because while there are no diamonds on the uniform, you see like CGI diamonds on the helmet at times as an ode to Houston. So I think they did a good job with the uniforms. Whether people will like them or not, that's all about taste. But as far as what they're trying to do with their own version of the City Connect, I think they did a good job. The Jags are terrible. Those uniforms suck. Now I'm in my Michael Carroll phase. Those uniforms stink. It is a ugly green for the helmet. It is something like out of like Madden Team Builder that someone put together, except those are just random dudes on the internet, not professional people at Nike and the Jags who have to approve it. And the pants are black, but it's like, you know how like a Jaguar or a Panther has, like you can see the spots, but barely because it's black. That's what the pants look like.
Yeah, it's like black-on-black leopard print.
Yeah, leopard print. That's a better way to describe it.
I guess Jaguar.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Those uniforms stink. Like, the Jags had that multicolored helmet back when Jalen Ramsey was on the team with Blake Bortles, and those uniforms suck, too. These are worse. They're terrible.
Yeah, yeah. The teal helmet or the – I guess it's teal.
I guess it's
– I guess that's what they're going for because teal is
– Yeah, it's one of their official colors.
Yeah. But, like, I think with the black helmet – like, it looked like they had a mandate to, like, hey, throw some teal in there. You know, like
– Yeah, the pants have a teal stripe that's bordered in gold, which is another one of their
but the
colors.
To me, the helmet – I mean
– The helmet is teal with gold face mask.
Yeah, the pants are yoga pants-ish. In the way that the leopard print is or the jaguar print is done, but no.
This uniform stinks.
No, this is bad stuff. Although the jersey itself, not bad. It's fine. It's like a normal jersey.
It's kind of Ravens like, and if you had Jags colors, like the Ravens have changed their uniforms this year as well. But if you think back to some of the past Raven uniforms, if you just throw Jag colors on it, it kind of looks like that. But the pants terrible. The helmet, terrible. They look – and, like, the numbers remind me of the Christmas Day jerseys the NBA used to do.
Oh, like cursive.
Yeah.
Kind of.
In that way. The Titans, you know, they're in the middle. It sounds like Houston bias, but if I were ranking the AFC South uniforms that were released, Texans, Titans, Jags. Whether the division turns out that way, we'll see. But as far as what you're going to see – the Jags are going to look bad. Maybe they'll look – maybe they'll look better on the field when there's 11 of them lined up together. No.
No, I think it'll look worse.
It'll look worse because there's more of it to look at. And it's not heavily designed to look a certain way.
Yeah, like perfect lighting.
Yeah.
In
the light of day, these
– they have to wear these at night.
The jerseys are white. And it depends on – it's a rivalry uniform, so they'll wear it against another AFC South team. Depending on what game week it is. They stink. That's my review of the Jags uniforms. The Texans did a pretty good job on theirs. I don't know when they're going to wear them. I'm sure they've announced that.
I think it's a game against the Colts.
Okay. So
it's like a...
So the Colts will wear blue here, and the Texans will get to wear their white uniforms.
September 27th at Lucas Oil Stadium.
They're going to wear them on the road? Yeah. I get their white uniforms, but... That's where you're going to debut them? On the road?
Yeah, because the Colts are going to be wearing grayish kind of...
Well, their own version of rivalry uniforms?
Yeah, and theirs is much more like Nike Pro Combat era of like, what if a team that doesn't wear black wears
the
black?
The Texans wear white at home, it used to be Liberty White, but they don't do that anymore, as far as naming the day.
Oh, yeah.
But they would wear white at home. Why would you wear them on the road when they're... supposed to be a representative of H-Town.
Yeah.
And the fans don't get to see him in person. Okay, whatever. Make your decisions. You're never going to be as bad as Jed York's decision, so it doesn't matter what you do, honestly. We'll go to break. We are still taking calls. 713-780-3776 is the number. We got some college football movement as far as quarterbacks being named starters. I talked about it yesterday, but the Jed York stuff took over, and I can't promise that it won't take over again, but we'll get to some SEC quarterback news and what college football conferences are doing to stop your favorite team's third day pick from going back to college and playing. Conferences are making statements. Some of them are enacting policies to avoid what's happening at LSU. They don't want it happening for their teams and their conferences, so we'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Back inside the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
So while there's a lot of controversy going on regarding guys getting their fifth year, the Cougars got some good news. Not only did they get the transfer safety from Arizona State, didn't they get one of their own back as well who was injured? Now I'm blanking on the receiver's name. I know it's Steven is his first name. I'll bring up his
Johnson?
Steven Johnson, who had to deal with the Liz Frank injury. He got cleared to rejoin the team. And Willie Fritz said, I wasn't sure because things change every day about the rules, but he is eligible to play. He rejoined the team yesterday. So they get him back. As I said, they got the transfer from Arizona State. They have a lot of returning experience as well. Fifth in starts as far as Power Four schools are concerned. Sixth in snaps, 18th in games played. So this is a very experienced Cougars team and with some high expectations. And the Big 12 still has Tech, and apparently they're going to have Thomas Castellanos playing quarterback for them. I think that's a win for the Cougs, honestly. I don't know how healthy Will Hammond would be. I just know that if you thought to yourself the Tech might have a great passing game this year, not if Castellanos is playing quarterback. That's not what he does. I don't remember how much quarterback run game was installed with Baron Morton at quarterback, but there will be plenty. He couldn't really practice or move, so there wasn't a lot. But I think you're going to see a lot of quarterback run at Tech. That's the way they're going to have to move the football because if you try to make him Castellanos a drop back passer, forget about it. So him starting, I think, is a win for the Cougs. Just more fallout from the Sorsby situation.
It took me a second. Him starting is a win for the Cougs. Yes. Yeah. If Castellanos is out there, then you got to feel good. Because, he obviously they can still block it up, and he is a good runner. But as a passer, not scaring you at all.
No.
Not
a great throw of the football, not a great decision maker with the ball either. So.
And Will Hammond can run too, but he's more of a evened it out with the passing. But he, has barely played, and like you said, it's coming off a torn ACL. Like, we don't know where he's going to be at physically. So, yeah, that's going to be a really interesting game. And it's, what, week three?
Week three of Friday, something Tech didn't want. But the Big 12 said, I don't know if you've heard, we boss you around. we'll get Sorsby out here too, and they did. But that came first where Tech was complaining. But, hey, we're the big dog here. Why are we playing on a Friday night? Cody Campbell talked, and the Big 12 said, you don't know this, but this is the first time we're going to bully you into doing something. We'll do this here, and then, you beat out the NCAA, and you thought you're going to have Sorsby playing, but we're going to threaten you in a way where Sorsby and you guys back out of this. So
you can't order around the Big 12.
No, right? And the Big 10 is saying, no pros or ex-pros in our league either. They are enacting legislation, if you can call it that, because it's a college conference, but to make it something you cannot do. You cannot go to the NFL, either get drafted or be undrafted, be in an NFL camp, getting paid to practice, and then come back. They're saying no. The SEC has bylaws where Greg Sankey, their commissioner, can rule guys ineligible. It's just part of the deal where he can go, no, not you. We'll see if Sankey has it in him to tell LSU. The two guys who used to be at Ole Miss that Lane Kiffin just brought over, particularly the guy who was a tight end in Brown's camp and that was on the field I'm assuming he took snaps, but at least he was in the warm-ups catching passes before their most recent game. You can't play. Does Sankey have it in him to talk to a conference member like that? We will see. But the ACC is moving towards not allowing this to happen. Now, to be clear, this is kind of only going to be a one-year thing
it is high school class of 2022.
Yes, it is not. While people are talking about the downfall of college sports and the floodgates are open, and I think I didn't listen to it, but Feinbaum, there's a video on ESPN.com, and Feinbaum is quoted as saying, college football's fallen into the abyss. I don't know the extent of that particular soundbite. This is a one-year thing, as Sean told you, the class of 2022. And after that, this will kind of go by the wayside until someone else challenges a rule.
Because basically what the NCAA did was they agreed to the five years rule. Where you can play 5 years. But the thing is, they announced it after the NFL draft, after a bunch of 2022 guys didn't think they had any eligibility left.
So they explored
so they went
the draft.
To the NFL.
Yeah.
And so now they're coming back and they can tell a judge, hey, we wouldn't have gone to the NFL. Like, the NCAA rules now say that we can play. We wouldn't have gone to the NFL had we known that at the time, could make that decision. So they get temporary restraining orders to play, And yeah, now this is where I don't understand the law or whatever Mickey Mouse law is happening with the NCAA and the Big Ten and Big 12, where how these guys can get the restraining order to play NCAA games, but then the Big Ten can just be like, psych, no, you can't. Or the Big 12 can be like, nope, you can't. Or I guess it's the teams can't sign them. It's less on the players and more on the teams.
Yeah, the players can be out there, but they will punish members of the conference.
Yeah, I also think that like these guys aren't going to make that big of a difference, if we're going to be honest.
Yeah, you pointed out that LSU has a better tight end already on the roster. Now, Wright caught a pass in a touchdown pass in the semifinal against Miami, so he can be productive. He's playing the defensive tackle, what's his last name? Harris is the tackle. He's most famously in Miami circles for being the guy sitting on the ground when Carson Beck runs in for a touchdown to win that game. If you go back to that play, the guy's exhausted. Ole Miss defense had been on the field for a lot of plays, but because it was the Fiesta Bowl and Miami's cursed in that game, Miami couldn't put them away, and eventually Ole Miss took a lead. He was so exhausted that he got knocked to the ground and just stayed on the ground while Carson Beck was scanning the end zone and decided, you know what? There's no contain, and there's not even a defensive tackle.
No one on this side of the
field. Yeah, so I'm just going to run into the end zone. That's what he's known for, at least with Miami people. He was an all-SEC player, so Kiffin's like, you're good. Come on over. So he is now with them as well. We'll see if the SEC says no after those guys have already been brought in by LSU. But college football is mobilizing. All the conferences are mobilizing to say, we're not allowing this for this one-year instance. I guess going forward, 5-5, the guys would just stay in school.
Yeah, they just wouldn't go to the
NFL. They just wouldn't go to the NFL.
That is the thing where, with the players, I am kind of like...
Yeah, you're like, wait a minute, you made this a thing after?
The rules after.
So it's really more NCAA ineptitude.
Yeah.
If you would have done this in the middle of the year, guys would have known that they would have been able to make a real decision instead. That I won't say forced, they were in for 4 years, but you enact the decision after we're gone. You didn't give me the opportunity. So I get the legal fight there. It just seems odd that you can be in a Browns uniform on a Saturday
and then be in the portal.
And be practicing at LSU on a Tuesday. Let's get to Lane Kiffin on the matter. A guy who is among a triumvirate of LSU coaches that a lot of people got problems with. Will Wade is bringing in a guy whose picture of committing to LSU features him in a Boston Celtics uniform. RJ Lewis, the Rutgers transfer. Excuse me, the Boston Celtics transfer.
Yeah, from the Celtics.
The Boston Celtics transfer.
From the Eastern Conference.
Yeah. Well, he goes from the Eastern Conference to the Southeastern Conference, and it looks like he's going to be eligible to play because of another court ruling. And then you have Kim Mulkey, who had a Ukrainian player on her team, brought in a Russian player, and, you know, considering world events, the Ukrainian player's like, you know what? I'm out. I don't want to be here anymore. So there's a lot going on at LSU. But here's Lane Kiffin on why they're bringing in guys who were in pro camps.
So, you know, we have, you know, made a decision to recruit some kids around the country. And, you know, through these multiple injunctions around the country, which this is not a first time, they've been in college sports for a while, a group of players were granted a fifth year of eligibility around the country in multiple sports. And through them winning their injunction and entry into the portal, they're available to recruit. And so ourselves, like many places around the country, are recruiting them. And at the end of the day, you know, because of these rulings, they're either going to play for you or they're going to play somewhere else around the country. So we've made a decision to recruit them, like probably most people are.
As it stands now, is LSU the only program to sign a couple guys who are in NFL camps?
To my knowledge, yes. I guess, or at least that were in training camps, right?
Yeah, I don't know where Harris was, if he was even on a NFL team.
Like the tight end, I mean, really the tight end, it's one of those funny, like, social media things where it's like the tight end is the only one that is getting singled out, basically because there was just video of him
catching passes and before the game.
Yeah, and the caption was, this guy is going to play in a preseason game and is in the transfer portal right now. Like, that is why he gets singled out, even though, you know, in theory, there's enough guys for the Big Ten and Big 12 to all make rules barring it.
The tackle, Xavien Harris, I don't know that he was with an NFL team. So that one's a little different because I don't see any mention of him being in a camp. I know he went undrafted and people were wondering because he wasn't all SEC selection. Turns out there's some stuff off the field that kept him from getting drafted. He is also famous for crushing Lane Kiffin when he went to LSU.
I forgot which one of the Ole Miss to LSU guys did that, but yeah, that's the clearest thing. They thought they're out of eligibility, so they trash Lane Kiffin.
Yeah,
and then when they find out they have more eligibility, they're like, actually, we would like to. And Lane Kiffin's the type of guy that's like, who cares, whatever. And they're like, actually, we'd like to play for the LSU Tigers. Follow Lane Kiffin.
Oh, you would? Welcome.
Yeah.
All those words you said about me? Whatever.
Yeah, Lane Kiffin's like, you know what people have said about me for 20 years now? Like,
an entire state ran me out of there. Actually, I left them in the middle of the night, and they haven't forgiven me since.
Al Davis brought in an overhead PowerPoint projector to talk about how much of a POS I am.
Yeah, and Harris was in Saints camp for a little bit. So, yeah, he was at least with the pro team for a little bit. So, yeah, they got a couple guys who spent some time with NFL teams. And now they're going to be playing in the SEC and trying to help LSU compete for a national title. All right. You know what? We're close enough to the end of the show. We won't go to break here. We will wrap it up with this. The Astros are back in action. They got the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, 6:05 start. It'll be Ethan Pecco with his second start against someone named Will Warren. And the Yankees, good baseball team. The Astros, not a good baseball team. We'll see if the Astros can wake up the echoes of good times in Yankee Stadium or just good times against the Yankees as they try to get back to first place. If you missed it yesterday, the Rangers beat the White Sox, so the Astros, not only are they under 500, they now no longer are in a tie for first place, and that can change pretty quickly. They're only a half game back, but they're not playing well. Their general manager is gone, and depending on who you believe, their manager was told he's not getting a contract after this year's over. That was a report by Bob Nightingale that the Astros had a high-ranking official tell Joe Espada, you're not getting a contract. This will be your last season with the Astros. Chandler Rome is saying no conversation in that way happened. Joe Espada will operate as a manager like he has all year long, and then whatever happens after the year happens. That's me adding that last part. He didn't actually write that. But his point was that this conversation telling Joe Espada he wasn't coming back isn't going to happen. I see the Astros as non-confrontational. If they're not going to fire you, there's no need to do it now. Because there was a thought that Joe Espada was given the option, hey, you're not going to come back. So do you want to leave now or do you want to manage for the rest of the year? Chandler Rome is disputing anything like that took place. So
that is a weird thing to be like, hey, just so you know, you do not have a job. We want to keep showing up for us?
Yeah.
You'll get paid.
I mean, Dylan Brooks got that treatment from the Grizzlies in a playoff series. Hey, Dylan Brooks ain't coming. I don't know if they said it to him, but the report was,
yeah,
Dylan Brooks isn't coming back.
Yeah, under no circumstances.
Under no circumstances in the middle of that flame out by the Grizzlies against the Lakers.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know. For the manager, too, he has to do press conferences. Like, he has – or not press conference, but he has to sit in the dugout and talk to these people.
And he's got his own stuff to deal with. It's the reason he didn't manage on Sunday. Yeah. He had a family emergency. He's back with the team. He'll manage tonight. So he'll have to, and the media will be delicate. They'll ask him to see if, and we'll see how much Joe Spada wants to talk about.
30 more games.
Yeah, and then he has to deal with, they told you you're not coming back. Why'd you make the decision to stay?
Yeah. Dylan Brooks only had to play like one more closeout game.
Yeah. and he was ready to go.
And Grizzlies, he wasn't talking to the media.
Yeah, he could leave. That's not what a manager can do. He just can't just stiff arm Julie Morales. Sorry, Julia. Not today or for the rest of the year. He's got to talk to her.
Cover his face like he's like it's paparazzi.
What is he? Like a spot as a guy with handcuffs, and they put the jacket over his hand so they don't see the handcuffs. Yeah. We know you're in handcuffs. Why are you putting the jacket on?
That is the metaphor for what has happened to the Houston Astros.
Yeah. Well, some people think they should be in prison for what they're doing to what was a great baseball franchise. In fact, Dennis writes us a letter, at least tweets us. This is a letter he's going to write to Santa. Dear Santa, we know we're asking for a lot, but all we really want is for the Astros to be good again. Can you please deliver Jeff Luhnow to Daikin Park, signed Houstonians? That's sentiment I understand, but if you go kind of by how the show feels, never go home again. Yeah. Jeff Luhnow, stay on that side, you know, owning soccer teams.
Be the one people are clamoring for. Always never actually have the job.
Always be the one. Like Bill Cowher played it right. You know what? Everyone wants me to be their coach. I love being in a position where I'm desirable.
I don't want to ruin that.
But I don't want to ruin my legacy. Jeff Luhnow, you're doing a pretty good job owning soccer teams. Keep doing that. Learn from Jeff Bagwell.
Of all people.
Who would probably not want you to have the job. All right, we're done for the day. Since we're done, what's it going to be, Sean?
A hissy fit.
Well, that was the description from one Ken Rosenthal about the firing of Dana Brown. All right, Rich Eisen up next. Jeremy and Joe after him. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.